The Food of Love by Smile Backwards. Read by Cookie Mom 6067. Are these brownies? Niall checks, staring at the pan of brownies that has somehow spontaneously appeared on their kitchen counter. They look homemade, but Niall knows for a fact that Joe burns water, and Booker lives almost entirely off of Doritos and takeout. Niall didn't even realize they had something more pan-shaped than the single sad dented cookie sheet available in the kitchen to make brownies with. Are they special brownies? Booker asks, looking interested. They're extremely special, Joe says, but not like that. Only because Nikki made them. Who's Nikki? Niall asks. She's been living with Joe, Booker, and Lycan in off-campus housing for 8 months now, and she's sure no one's mentioned a Nikki. Nikki, Joe says, like the emphasis will somehow help her remember someone she's never heard of. Okay, Niall says patient, but like, who is Nikki, Joe? Who is Nikki? Who is Nikki? Joe says, affronted and poetic in equal measures. Only the love of my life, the heart of my heart, the most beautiful, perfect. I didn't know you had a new boyfriend, Booker says around a mouthful of brownie. Congrats, these are really good. Niall cuts out a corner piece and pops it into her mouth. God, they are really good. Double chocolate and gooey and still faintly warm from the oven. Did he just leave? Why didn't you introduce us? He had to go to class, Joe says. Niall hands him the knife and he cuts himself a large middle piece. He adds proudly, Nikki's an amazing cook. He made fettuccine Alfredo last night, too. Niall looks over at the sink, but there are no pots or other dishes to back up Joe's claim. The cleanliness is even more unusual because Booker, for someone who subsists almost entirely on takeout, somehow uses an inordinate amount of dishware and then leaves it in the sink until it grows sentient organisms. It's for my biology 205 class, he'd once lied, straight-faced and straight to Niall's face. Did he wash all the dishes? Niall asks. Joe puts a hand over his heart, like she's wounded him. What kind of cad do you think I am, Niall? He says. Nikki cooked and I cleaned. Even Booker's dishes? They were making Nikki look sad, Joe says. New house rule, by the way, no one is allowed to make Nikki sad. He looks meaningfully at Booker. Wash your dishes. Booker rolls his eyes. Fine, as long as we get more brownies out of it. The next week, Niall opens the fridge expecting half a bottle of orange juice and the few apples she brought home from the dining hall yesterday. Instead, the shelves are full of milk and eggs, yogurt and oranges and tomatoes. There's a box of blueberries stacked neatly on top of a box of strawberries. Niall opens the crisper drawer to find celery and peppers and a bunch of genuine 6-inch-long carrots. Not even the baby carrots. Actual peelable carrots. Joe, Niall calls, did you buy all this food? She can't remember the last time any of them cooked anything. The closest they usually get is walking down to the Waffle House together. Joe wanders into the kitchen, followed by a curious Booker. No, Joe says, shaking his head. Nikki bought all that. He said he was worried we were all going to die of scurvy. He knows we can't cook, though, right? Niall asks. The oranges are fine, but she doesn't know what else to do with the celery except ants on a log. Joe smiles. He's aware. He rummages through the sudden bounty of the refrigerator and hands Niall a tidy blue bento box. It has a yellow sticky note on the top that reads, Niall, smiley face. And for you, he adds, giving Booker a brown paper bag labeled Booker. What, I don't get a smiley face? Booker asks. I told Nikki you were French, Joe says. He's going to take some time to warm up to you. Joe, we've literally never met him. He made you a sandwich, Joe continues blithely. Make sure you bring back the wrap. It's reusable. Niall opens her bento box. He made me 4 cheese mac and cheese? It might even be 5 cheese. There are a lot of distinct shades of orange and breadcrumbs. Did he toast these? She asks, incredulous. Joe laughs. Yes, I thought he was making me breakfast, but he was really gourmeting your lunch. He takes another bento box, polished brown wood this time, out of the fridge and smiles down at the attached sticky note, where Joe is encased in a neat Sharpie-drawn heart. Joe, Niles says, when are we going to get to meet Nikki? Booker moans around his sandwich, which apparently isn't going to make it as far as lunch. I don't care who made this, as long as they continue to make more. Joe shrugs. He's here all the time. You just keep missing each other. Ships in the night. I'm sure you'll get to meet him soon. Fall starts abruptly, with an unseasonable cold snap, and Niles shivers as she opens the door to the apartment. She thought they were going to get at least another week of t-shirts and shorts out of September. There's a large black hoodie draped over the arm of the couch. Niles throws it on over her t-shirt and sighs, tucking her chilled hands into the front pocket. The sweatshirt feels like a warm hug. Niles doesn't think Joe or Booker will mind her borrowing it, although it doesn't seem like something Joe, with his forward fashion sense, would wear. And Booker tends toward chunky sweaters. Niles? Joe says, coming out of his room. Oh, he smiles, looking at her figure, dwarfed by the hoodie. That's Nikki's. He must have left it. Niles' reluctance to relinquish it must read on her face because Joe laughs, his eyes twinkling. I'm sure he won't mind if you borrow it a while longer. My heart is nothing if not generous. Niles wouldn't know, seeing as she still has yet to meet the mysterious Nikki, but she's willing to take Joe's word on it. The hoodie is very warm. Joe, how is Nikki doing? Lycan asks. You know Nikki? Niles asks. Lycan, who's doing pre-med and routinely spends 6-hour blocks in organic chemistry labs, is practically as much a ghost to the apartment as Nikki. Of course, Lycan says. He's here all the time. What the fuck? Booker mouths at Niles over Lycan's shoulder. I know, she mouths back. Lycan gives Joe a teasing look and adds, I've seen more of Nikki than anyone, but Joe needs to see. The door was closed, Joe says pointedly. I thought you were being murdered. There was a lot of screaming. Yeah, there was, Joe says with satisfied reminiscence and accepts a high five from Booker. Niles, Nikki made cake if you'd like some. Centered on the kitchen table, there's a beautifully iced chocolate cake sitting on a delicate pale blue cake stand that looks like it ought to belong to someone's grandmother. 2 slices are missing. Thanks. What was the occasion? Niles asks, pulling a plate out of the cupboard. Joe smiles, the corners of his eyes crinkling. Nikki likes cake. Okay, fair. Niles takes a bite. Jesus Christ. She hopes the orgasms Nikki is apparently giving Joe are half as good as the one her mouth is having right now. There's a lunchbox in the fridge for you, too, Joe says. It's been 2 months of Miss Nikki's sightings, and Niles would almost be convinced that Joe and Lycan are just fucking with her and Booker at this point. But the food keeps appearing, and the apartment is full of odds and ends Nikki's left behind. She and Booker have been keeping an inventory in a hopeless attempt to gauge who Nikki is based on the debris left in his wake. It's a technique Niles learned in her anthropology class, but it's not serving her particularly well at the moment. Niles looks at the small pile of lost and discarded items they've traced back to Nikki. There's a comparative religions textbook, although Joe said that Nikki's major is ecology. The new knife block from the kitchen. Ethically sound beeswax wrap used for Booker's sandwiches. A scrap of paper with dates and times listed. A drawing of a sword in the top right corner in what Niles recognizes as Joe's hand. And Niles' confiscated black hoodie. I found these, too, Booker says, pulling out a strip of condoms that advertised ultra-ribbed and adding them to the pile. Great, Niles says. So, he's Joe's knife-wielding, maybe sword-wielding, environmentally conscious chef boyfriend who wears comfortable clothing and fucks. This is so helpful. Booker shrugs. I don't really see the problem, Niall. He makes us food. Joe loves him. Where's the downside? Look, Niall says, I'd just like to meet the man who makes me 5 cheese mac and cheese and holds Joe's heart in his hands. She gives Booker a sideways glance. They don't really talk about it, but Joe doesn't always have the best taste in boyfriends, you know. Yeah, Booker says, deflating. Joe's last boyfriend had broken his heart pretty thoroughly. Niall would do it no question, no hesitation, but if they never have to bolster Joe through pints of Ben and Jerry and Meg Ryan movie marathons again, it will be too soon. Nikki had better be worth all the love Joe has to offer, or no 5 cheese mac and cheese will save him. Joe's sketchbook is open on the table, and Niall sees a pair of piercing eyes, the curve of a sharp cheekbone, before she also sees the inner curve of hip and... Joe! Niall yells, slapping the sketchbook closed. Why is there a picture of a cock on our coffee table? Oh, sorry, Niall, Joe says, with the perfect ambivalence of an artist who sees no shame in any aspect of the human form. I can't help sketching Nikki. He's a beautiful muse. Niall isn't entirely scandalized herself, but still, there's a picture of a cock on her coffee table. Niall can't believe she's seen a picture of Nikki's dick before she's even gotten to meet him. Not on the coffee table, please, Niall says, handing Joe the sketchbook, and hoping she doesn't find it on the kitchen counter next. Niall's first confirmation that Nikki is a real-life human being and not a benevolent food ghost that haunts their apartment comes at 1:21 in the morning on a Thursday.
Joe,
Niall hears someone moan through the thin apartment walls, then lapse into a language she doesn't recognize. Niall is in intermediate Latin, not the Romance languages. The only thing she knows how to say in French is merde, and that's Booker's fault entirely. Niall can recognize the cadence of Joe's voice through the wall, sweet and soothing, but she can't make out the words. They aren't for her anyway. Niall puts in her headphones, turns on Frank Ocean, and tries to fall back to sleep. When she wakes in the morning, it's to the smell of hash browns and eggs, onions sizzling in the pan. Niall throws off her covers and sprints for the kitchen, but the breakfast dishes are already in the sink. There's the soft sounds of voices, and Niall turns the corner to the entryway just in time to see a flash of brown hair as Joe closes the door. I missed him again, Niall says, sagging onto the couch. She's going back to sleep. There's another 2 hours before her next class. Nikki's a morning person, Joe says, joining her on the couch and pulling Niall's feet into his lap. It's his worst flaw. I only get sleepy cuddles on the weekends. He has 8 a.m. lectures every morning. God, Niall says, why? She had an 8 a.m. lecture series on Mondays and Wednesdays last semester, and it almost killed her. Joe laughs and tugs her upright. Let Nikki have his mysteries, Niall. Come on, he left you a plate in the fridge. When Niall opens the fridge now, she started to expect a certain level of healthy, edible food. The swift, unforeseen decline to a few softening oranges and expiring condiment bottles makes Niall's heart give a sudden clench. She's guiltily left a few crumpled $10 bills on the top shelf since she never sees Nikki to offer him grocery money in person. But Joe always hands them back to her, so it can't be that. Nikki and I both have stipends, Joe told her. Food costs less in bulk, so it all comes out in a wash. Really, you're helping us not to waste food. Nikki and I would never get through these groceries by the expiration dates by ourselves. Now that she thinks of it, Joe has been looking undeniably morose. He goes through blue periods sometimes, but all the latest paintings have been cheerful, and color swirled with rounded romantic lines. None of the washed-out colors or jagged-edged sculptures that hint at true unhappiness. "Joe," Niall says cautiously, "is everything okay with you and Nikki?" "Of course," Joe says, frowning at her. "Why?" "Oh, no, he just has a midterm paper due, Niall. He'll be back soon."
"Good," Niall says. "I still haven't given up on meeting him."
"Ow," Niall says, yawning when she runs into Booker's back on the way to the kitchen. "Why are you just standing in the doorway like, I think it's him?" Booker hisses like he's going to startle a mythical creature. "Who?" Niall says, blinking half awake as she tries to peer over his shoulder. She can only see the back of someone, a white guy with short brown hair. He's wearing Joe's oldest and most beloved T-shirt, worn soft with 1,000 washes and splattered with paint, and in his hand is a sharp-ass knife being wielded with ridiculously swift precision against a green pepper. Niall has a sleep-addled moment where this does not compute before she realizes, Nikki. It's Nikki. Niall refrains from shouting because of the knife, but it's a close thing. This is the culmination of months. Months! He'd better be worthy of Joe. Speaking of Joe, he moves from the table to eclipse Nikki's back in an embrace, taking the knife from his hands. "Look who you finally get to meet, hey, Addie," Joe says, spinning Nikki around. Nikki's entire face is a smile. "Niall," he says with flattering enthusiasm, "I'm so happy to meet you. Joe's told me so much about you." He opens his arms, and he's wearing Joe's softest T-shirt, and he's made her lunch practically every day for months, so Niall walks straight into them. Nikki's hug is as soft and warm as his sweatshirt. Niall could stay here forever. Joe's probably in safe arms. "Booker?" Nikki nods. "You're still French?" he checks, like Booker might have renounced his nationality. Booker gives him a sardonic look. Nikki smiles. "It's okay," he says. "My Joe loves you, so I will make you more bouillabaisse. Perhaps crepes if you are awake in the mornings." "Unlikely," Joe says. "Stick to the bouillabaisse." "Hey," Booker says, without feeling. "But yeah, I'll take the bouillabaisse." Niall gently punches Nikki on the arm when she reluctantly eases out of the hug. "Why has it taken us 3 months to meet you? The suspense was driving us crazy."
"I'm sorry, Niall," Nikki apologizes. "Our class times seem very at odds, and I didn't want to bother you."
He smiles at Joe, sweet and teasing. And it is difficult to leave Joe alone in bed. He's a very good cuddler. They're both champion huggers, as far as Niall can tell. It's a match made in heaven. "Thank you for all the meals," Niall says, because it's long overdue, and her mother raised her right. "I'm glad you enjoyed them," Nikki says, pleased. "Would you like some breakfast?" The end.